Today I would like you to turn in your Bible and please follow along with me. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and let's begin reading at verse 3. Paul writes to these believers and says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our Father, knowing..." Now here's my text today. "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, having received the gospel, believed the gospel in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." Now, my subject this morning is the Bible doctrine of election. What does the Bible teach about election? Any honest person who reads the Scripture must confess that this truth is taught throughout Scripture, not only in the New Testament, but throughout the Old Testament. We see plainly revealed the Bible doctrine of election. Let's read some Scripture and see if this is what the Scriptures teach. In Psalm 65, verse 4, we read this: "Blessed is a man whom thou choosest, whom God has chosen and causes to approach unto God." In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, we read, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness will I draw you unto myself." Our Lord said in John 15:16, He said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've ordained you." In Acts 13:48, when Paul preached to those people and the Jews turned away, and the Gentiles, some of the Gentiles embraced and believed the gospel, Paul wrote this: "As many as were ordained to eternal life believed." And in Romans 9, we read this about God's sovereign purpose in election. The children, Romans 9, verse 11, "being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." Again, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul said, "God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ, as He chose us, according as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul said, "We're beloved of God, and we know this because God hath from the beginning chosen us," from the beginning of this world, chosen us to salvation through and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now clearly, just from reading these 6 or 7 verses of Scripture, we see that the Bible doctrine of election is clearly and plainly taught throughout Scripture. God made a sovereign choice who would be saved. Now, we might not understand it or even be able to explain it, but we cannot, as God's people, as believers of Scripture, we cannot deny that the Lord and the apostles taught sovereign electing grace. What is election? What does the Bible teach about this blessed truth? Now, here's a simple definition of the Bible doctrine of election. Election is God's eternal and sovereign purpose to separate and distinguish His people who are saved by His grace from the rest of fallen mankind, and to make His people an object of His love, sovereign love, eternal love, mercy and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simply this: who made you to differ from another? God made the difference. God made the difference. Now, here are 7 undeniable facts, biblical facts, about the Bible doctrine of election. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Now, this is God's truth. You say, well, why does this need to be preached? Well, because it's God's Word. It's God's truth. And we need to hear the truth. Here are 7 undeniable truths about the Bible doctrine of election. The first one is this. This election took place in eternity. When did God choose His people? Well, He chose them in eternity. God didn't choose His people in time. but before time. He chose us before the foundation of the world, when nothing existed but God Himself. And here's the Scripture, many Scriptures that teach that, but here's one. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:9, "It's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world." So first of all, we know that election is eternal. Election happened in eternity when God chose His people and predestinated those people to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. The second truth and fact about election is this. Election is not only eternal, but election is sovereign. Plainly, God will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. Now, we read this throughout the Scripture. In Exodus 33 and again in Romans 9, Paul said, "I will have," writing of what Moses said, what God had said to Moses, rather, "I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy." Now, the destiny of men and the salvation of men is in the hands of God. God's not in your hands. You're in His hands. The destiny of men is not in the hands. The destiny of men is not in the hands of men, but in the hands of God. Not in the hands of defiled sinners. Our destiny and salvation is in the hands of God. Men love darkness rather than the light. God will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. Our salvation's in His hand. Thirdly, election is an act of free, unconditional grace. Free, unconditional grace. God chose His people not because they were good or evil, but simply because He would be gracious. Grace is always free and grace is unconditional. This election of God was a free act of God's unconditional grace. Grace cannot be earned. Grace cannot be merited. The only reason for grace is grace. We read this in Matthew 11. "He hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seems good in your sight." There is a remnant according to the election of grace, and if by grace, then it's no more of works. Romans 11, 5 and 6. So we see election is eternal, election is sovereign, election is a free act of God's unconditional grace. Fourthly, election is irreversible. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob." The gifts and calling of God are without change, Romans 11, 29. Those chosen in eternity shall not be unchosen in time. God's of one mind, who can change Him? That which God had purposed in eternity, He will bring to pass in time. It cannot be changed. Election is irreversible. Fifthly, election is effectual. Election is effectual. Every soul chosen by God in eternity was effectually redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary and will be called by the gospel and regenerated by God the Holy Spirit. Not one of God's elect shall perish. He says that plainly in John chapter 6. Our Lord said, "All that the Father hath given me will come to me, and those that come to me I will in no wise cast out." Paul said this in Romans 8, 29, "For those for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He justified. And whom He justified, He glorified." Now, what shall we say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? Election is effectual. Something else we need to keep in mind. What does the Bible teach about election? Well, election is personal. Personal. We read in John 10, "He knows His sheep and He calls them by name." When He passed by Matthew the publican, our Lord said, "Matthew, follow Me." And he rose and followed the Lord. When He passed under that sycamore tree, He looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." And Matthew obeyed the Lord. When our Lord walked in front of the tomb of His friend Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, He commanded Lazarus to come forth, and he that was dead came forth. Election is personal. God knows His sheep. He's known them eternally. And in time, He calls them out one by one. Lastly, election is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Election is in Christ. Christ is the elect. He says that in Isaiah 42, "Behold my servant, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth." Christ was designated as God's elect. We were chosen in Him in eternity, blessed in Him in eternity, loved in Him in eternity, and justified in the Lord Jesus Christ eternally. This is what God's Word teaches about the Bible doctrine of election. Now, when Paul writes to these believers at Thessalonica, he says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Now, how did Paul know their election? How did Paul know that these were chosen of God in eternity? Well, how can any person know he's one of God's elect? Well, the proof is in the evidence. And in these few verses here, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 6, Paul gives us some proof or evidence of election. Paul gives us several evidences of election. If you've experienced these things, you too are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, the first thing we see is this. Paul said, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit." These people heard the gospel. When they heard Paul preach, they just didn't hear Paul. They not only heard the words of Paul, but they heard the Word of God. And they received the Word, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh in those who believe. The power of preaching is not in the excellent speech, eloquence of the speaker or the preacher, nor in the wisdom of men, but it's in the power of God. It's in the power of the Word. It's in the power of the gospel itself. These people heard the gospel from God, and it was directed to their heart, and their hearts were enlightened by God the Holy Spirit. You see, the gospel, that's why Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. So this is the first evidence of being God's elect. Hearing the gospel in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And then the second evidence of election is this. Not only hearing the Word with power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, but he says here, in much assurance. God's elect have heard the Word with assurance. Assurance that the gospel of grace is the truth. Assurance that Jesus Christ is God, manifest in the flesh. Assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood atonement is sufficient to put away our sin. Assurance that His power and His grace will keep us saved. If you receive the gospel with much assurance, you can say that Jesus Christ is mine, that He's altogether lovely, and to you who believe, He is precious. Our comfort and our confidence is in Christ alone. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. We've heard the gospel with the power of God the Holy Spirit, and He's given us much assurance that the gospel is truth. Thirdly, he says here, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord." God's elect are committed to the cause of Jesus Christ, the Lord. They're followers of the Lord. The believer says this, "The Lord is my shepherd." Those who follow the Lord Jesus as shepherd look unto Him to provide all things in salvation. He's my wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We submit to His lordship. We love His presence. We receive His truth, and we turn from our dead work to the Lord Jesus Christ and find in Him and see in Him all our salvation. These are the evidences of being chosen of God and loved of God in eternity. Now, if you would like a copy of this message on God's elect, the Bible doctrine of election, I'd gladly send it to you. You can write to me at 6088 Zebulon Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky,